So we are about halfway through our series on the Ten Commandments. This is the fourth commandment, but we're actually in the fifth week of dealing with the commandments because, as you remember, a few weeks ago when we had Children's Sunday, we decided to do the fifth commandment, honor your parents, for that Sunday because it was appropriate for the children. So this morning, we are looking at the fourth commandment here. And I often like to say that this is it's one of the sort of the forgotten commandments, or one that we just kind of, it's a sort of an optional commandment, right? The Sabbath. We can probably name some of the more juicy commandments, right? You know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. Those are all ones we can recall pretty quickly. But this is often one that people forget about when we think about the Ten Commandments. And it's because we've forgotten about the art of resting, the art of Sabbath, if you like. So let me ask you all a question. Any of you feeling a little stressed or overworked, like you don't have enough time in the day to get everything done? I see Devro raising his hand. That's very typical of full-time musicians. I can testify. But I would say most of us feel a certain stress and a weight in life. You know, even if you're retired, I think it's still there. But I thought I'd begin by giving you a few statistics just to put things in perspective and perhaps show us a little bit but why we're sometimes a little bit stressed, especially here in the US where we put so much value on the work ethic. Zero industrialized nations are without a mandatory option for new parents to take parental leave, except for the United States. At least 134 countries have laws setting the maximum length of the work week, but we don't have that here in the US. 85% of men and 66.5% of women work more than 40 hours a week. And according to the International Labour Organization, Americans work 137 more hours per year than Japanese workers, 260 more hours per year than British workers, and 499 more hours per year than French workers. Well, the French one doesn't surprise me, but there's not a federal law requiring personal sick days. And the US is the only industrialized country in the world that has no legally mandated annual leave. In every country except Canada and Japan, workers get at least 20 paid vacation days. And in France and Finland, they get 30. They get an entire month off every year. Now, let's compare that with Finland, which last year was voted the happiest country in the world, according to the UN World Happiness Report. And yes, the UN really has a thing called the World Happiness Report. Wouldn't that be a fun job? That'd be a nice uplifting job, wouldn't it? What do you do for a living? Well, I work for the World Happiness Report. I get to deal with happy people all day long. But Finland got it last year, and yes, they do have high taxes. There are no free lunches, right? But they've got free healthcare, university education. The average wage, interestingly, they're not super rich. The average wage is about $43,000 US dollars. They're religiously and socially tolerant. They have a good gender balance in the workplace, and people are generally healthy. And their average working week is 38 hours. So there's quite a contrast there, isn't there? And obviously every country's different and has their different priorities. But I think one of the things that we can really suffer from is this idea of workaholism. That work is a good thing. And of course work is a good thing. It is good to have a good work ethic. But when work takes over everything else in our life, then we have to ask ourselves, maybe do we have a problem? Many of us feel overworked, underpaid, and undervalued. And part of it is because we have forgotten the fourth commandment. What is the fourth commandment? Well, you've probably already forgotten it, right? But we just read it. It's to honor the Sabbath, essentially. Now, the word Sabbath, it comes from the Hebrew root word to cease or to desist, to rest, to stop. So in a sense, when God says honor the Sabbath, he's commanding us to stop for a moment. Stop what you're doing. Pause. Rest. And we're told that the Sabbath is to be kept holy. The word holy means to be set apart. We are a holy people as the church. Israel was a holy nation. It was set apart by God. We are supposed to be set apart by God. And so when the Lord says the Sabbath is to be kept holy, he's making a point that we have to set this apart in our lives. This has to be an important part of our lives that we make time for. The Lord makes the point that the Sabbath is for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for men, women, servants, foreigners, not just the elite, but for all. It's an Old Testament concept that's over 3,000 years old, and yet it's actually a radical concept for 2019 for many of us. We're told even the animals are supposed to rest. In fact, creation is supposed to get a rest. It's supposed to get a break. Listen to what the Lord says in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your male and female servants, and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." So listen to that. You know, I would say probably the Lord knows more about farming and the land than probably any of us. Yeah? Just a guess, but I think I'm right there, seeing as he created it all. And here is the Lord's prescription for how they are to treat the land. Even the land gets a break, gets a Sabbath. Can you imagine if we as people agreed upon the Sabbath? I mean, there used to be a time, right, where pretty much the shops were closed on Sunday, right? And you had to get everything done on the other 6 days a week, but you wouldn't find people going shopping, going to the malls. There was a time, for example, when everything would be closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and the day after Christmas. But now what's happened is things have been overtaken by this need and greed to do more, to earn more, to be constantly doing. You know, years ago, I was on tour in Germany as a musician, and we covered a lot of Germany, doing a great show. And one of the things that really took me by surprise was that on Saturdays, in all the German towns, everything would be open until 1:30 in the afternoon, and then everything would close. And this was crazy to me because, you know, growing from the UK, we're very similar to the US, really, in terms of our work ethic and, you know, shops being open and all that kind of thing. And so in the UK, I was used to, you know, shops would be open until 5 or 6 on a Saturday. And here in Germany, they would close at 1:30 on Saturday and then wouldn't open again until Monday. A whole day and a half of nothing being open, except maybe some restaurants and things like that. And I remember talking to my German friends. I was like, what's the deal here? You know, Saturday's one of those days you get stuff done. You go out, you do your shopping. And they were like, no. We really value our family time. Come 1:30, we're spending time with the family and with our friends. We're visiting people, you know, and then we get back to it on Monday. And it was really quite a shock and a surprise to me, but it was also very revealing of where the values were of those people. So why is Sabbath important to God? I mean, why is it so important that he included as one of the Ten Commandments? Well, we need to go back to Genesis, and we need to go back to the creation account, which is found in the first couple of chapters of Genesis. And listen to what it says in chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 2 to 3. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So this is that he blessed it, he blessed that day, and made it holy, set it apart. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Why did God do this? I mean, did God need a rest? Did he get tired? Did he need to put his feet up after 6 days of creating stuff? That'll take it out of you. I need a day off. No, God doesn't get tired, does he? What he was doing was he was setting a precedent. He was setting an example for us. He was saying the Sabbath is a good thing. It's good for us. He was modeling for us what rest and replenishment and Sabbath looks like. God was saying not only is it good, but it's essential. It's essential to our well-being. That's why it's in the Ten Commandments, because it is as important as not murdering each other, as not stealing, as all the other commandments. It's just as important to our existence. There's two places that we find this commandment. In fact, there's two places we find the Ten Commandments. We've been basing ours off Deuteronomy chapter 5, but they're also listed in Exodus, the book of Exodus chapter 20. And in the Exodus account, God uses the fact that he is a creator, he is the creator of all, and rested as to the reason for Sabbath. So we too can use the Sabbath to remind ourselves that we are God's creation and that we owe everything to him. Let's not forget, what does the Bible tell us in Genesis? We are made in the image of God. It's actually one of the reasons we are so precious as individuals. Each one of us is an image bearer of the living God. And so when you think of it like that, think we are made in the image of a working and resting God. If God works and rests, so should we. Now in the Deuteronomy account that we just read, And Devereaux talked about this with the song we just heard for the offertory. The Lord recounts his rescue of the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. God declared his covenant relationship with his people. And so by observing the Sabbath, you're actually celebrating your freedom. And of course, now we are God's covenant people. And the Lord has brought us out of slavery into freedom through his son, Jesus. Do you realize that we are a freed people because of what Jesus did on the cross? You know, slaves, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, they didn't get a day off. When you don't take a Sabbath, you are basically demonstrating that you are still enslaved. The author Dorothy Bass said this: slaves cannot take a day off. Free people can. So my question to you is, who are you? Are you free or are you still in slavery? But here's what observing the Sabbath really, really comes down to and why it is fundamental to our existence. Sabbath is a reminder that everything belongs to God. There's nothing that doesn't belong to God. This church is God's church. This building is God's building. The offerings, the money we have in our pockets, the jobs we do, the family, everything belongs to God. And that includes time. Time. Time belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. He knew the day you were going to be born, and he knows the day you're going to die. He knows everything about you. He knows every second, minute, hour, day, month, week, you, whatever you want to say. He knows every part of your life and how long you have. You know, we're all familiar with the expression, time is money, right? How many times have you heard that? Come on, guys, time is money, time is money. Come on, chop, chop. Get at it, time is money. But actually, time's more than money. Time's more than money. Because money can be replaced. You can lose money and get it back. You can't lose time and get it back. It's kind of ironic, right? But we all lost an hour this morning. Yeah? We're not getting that hour back. It's gone. And the way I look at it, it's one less hour we have to deal with this weather. But time cannot be replaced. In fact, time, when you think about it, it's the most valuable commodity in the world, isn't it? Why? Because you can't get it back. It's like watching a bad movie. And you think to yourself, after you've watched the movie, that's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. You feel you lost something. You got cheated out of something, didn't you? Because you gave your time to something and it didn't give you anything back. So, rather than saying time is money, perhaps it would be better saying something like this: time, priceless. For everything else, there's MasterCard. It would be a good one, wouldn't it, for MasterCard, don't you think? Sabbath is, it's a way of giving God our most valuable asset. Many of us give very generously every week to God's church. And I thank you, the church thanks you, and I know God rewards you for your faithful giving. He really does. But you know what he wants even more than your financial resources? Is your time. Do you know how much he wants you to spend time with him? To set aside and devote some time where it's just you and the Lord? That's more valuable to the Lord than anything else you can give him. And in fact, it's the most valuable thing you can give to one another. Have you noticed that the most important and impactful people in your life have not necessarily been people who perhaps helped you out financially? They're people who invested in you and spent time with you. Those are the people you remember. Those are the people who influenced your lives. Those who spent time with you. Gave up their time to be with you. It's the ultimate tithe. But many of us, we don't observe the Sabbath. Come on, let's be honest. We don't, do we? Many of us, we have that workaholism in us that says, I got to keep working. No. I got bills to pay. I you don't understand. We see it as optional. Or as I mentioned earlier, as a take it or leave it command. Well, come on, I mean, you know, really? We're really supposed to take a day off or take a break here? I mean, come on, that's sort of Old Testament stuff, right, isn't it? We're not bound by that legalism, are we? I mean, that was for the Israelites, right? 3,000 or so years ago. But I think many of us don't observe the Sabbath. I think it really comes down to two basic reasons. One is idolatry, and secondly is a lack of faith and trust in God. And so, let me say those again. Idolatry, And number two, a lack of faith or trust in God. I think those are the two primary reasons that we don't take Sabbath in our life. And it's interesting, idolatry, you're going to find, as we've already touched upon it in this sermon series on the Ten Commandments, but it actually, idolatry underpins so many of the commandments. That deep down, there is something in our hearts that's elevating something above God. And I believe, in this sense, with Sabbath, the idol lies in our work. We lift our work and place it as more important than God. And we let our work define us. Right? We get into this idea that we are whatever our work is. And it's really, it's shown in the way we talk with each other, right? What's one of the first things you ask somebody when you meet them? Oh, so what do you do for a living? What do you do? Well, I do. And it's because there's a subconscious assumption that what you do is who you are. But by taking a day of rest, we deliberately dethrone work from being the central to our existence. As followers of Jesus, the only thing that should really define our identity is how Jesus sees us. Jesus is the one who says, I give you your identity. Not your clothes, not your money, not your house, not your car, not your family, not your job. None of that is who you are. We are not defined by what we do. There's a reason we're called human beings and not human doings. Have you ever thought about that? You're a human being. You're not a human doing. If all we do is do, then we will stop being. Think about that for a moment. If all we do is do, we will stop being. And if we believe that to do more is to be more, then we are in fact slaves to what we do. You see how that works? I think if I do more and more, and if I do more and more, that defines who I am. No. No. So idolatry, number one. And number two, lack of faith and trust in God. So I think many of us, we don't take a rest or a break from our work because we don't believe that God is going to honor that and provide for us. Right? There's a lack of trust there. And I speak, this is firsthand for me because for many, many years, as a professional musician, I worked 7 days a week. I wouldn't take a day off because, you know, as musicians, you tend to juggle 4 or 5 different things at the same time. You're teaching, you might be working for a school doing a bit of teaching, you're doing some gigs, you might be involved in a few theater productions. You know, it's a constant juggling to pay the bills. And it creates this sort of feast or famine mentality in you. You get your good months and then there's some months where you're dead. There's nothing going on. And so this work ethic crept into me that I have to be working every day of the week because I don't know where the next paycheck's coming from and I need to take this just in case next week there's nothing on the books. And so day after day, I was working, teaching, playing. And I didn't realize, but over the years, it was affecting me. I was constantly irritated. Constantly annoyed. Little things would set me off. Snappy with Sarah. Until it got to the point where Sarah said to me, she said, you have to take a day off. We can't go on like this. This is not healthy for our relationship. We're not getting any time together. We're not getting any personal time together. You're in and out all the time. I never see you for any length of time. I never know where you're going to be from 1 week to the next because of your work schedule. You have to take a day off, a day of rest where we can spend some time together, where we can catch up, we can enjoy a meal together, those kind of things. And my initial reaction, because that idolatry and because that lack of trust and faith in God was so deeply rooted in me, my initial reaction was like, absolutely not. Do you realize if I take such and such a day off, do you realize how much income we're going to lose if I do that? We can't afford to do it. I can't do it. And Sarah just, she gave me an ultimatum. She said, you have to do it to save our relationship. And so I very begrudgingly, kicking and screaming, metaphorically, took a day off. I decided it would be Mondays. And I was very hesitant to do it. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Having that Monday off, Monday is still my day off, by the way, it gives you shape to the week. It gives you a light at the end of the tunnel. It gives you time to just decompress, to relax, to spend that much needed time with your family, to enjoy a meal together, to spend some time really worshiping the Lord, to come to church. It was the best decision I made. And you know what? On top of that, guess what? I still cannot explain it to this day, but we never felt the pinch financially. And it was a financial hit for us. It really was. I was the only, still am the only person bringing income in. And I don't, all I call it is miraculous, because we never felt the financial pinch at all. The Lord continued and does to provide for us. So I want to encourage you, if you're in that place of thinking, there's no way I can do this. Yes, you can. If you put your trust in Him and use that day to honor Him, He will honor you too. So what are some steps we can do to reclaim Sabbath in our lives? Well, just as I said, pick a day of the week as a no-work day and stick to it religiously. Pun intended. Look at your schedule and see if there are ways to consolidate your work schedule. Are your kids overbooked and overburdened? This is a classic one I would come across teaching piano to kids in Brookline, which is an affluent neighborhood near Boston. The parents would continuously overbook their children, doing ridiculous amounts of activities. So the kids were stressed out. They were miserable. And they never had any time to do any piano practice either. It's made me miserable. But maybe you can bring the kids' schedule down a bit. They may whine and complain at first, but trust me, they will thank you later. We have to remember that if you are a parent, we are the models for our kid. So if we're not modeling Sabbath for them, they're going to grow up with the same ethic of being stressed out and feeling like they can never take any rest. So find a day, condense your schedule if you're able to. If you can't do a full day, maybe you do a half day. It's a start. It's not ideal, but it's a start. Secondly, set time aside to worship. The Sabbath was supposed to be a day of worship that we dedicated to the Lord. So set a time, some time to worship on that day, right? Read scripture, pray, connect with the Lord. Remember, give Him your time. That's what He craves more than anything else, is time with you, because He wants relationship with you. Allow yourself time to retell and relive your story, just as the Israelites did. They would often talk about how the Lord brought them out of slavery of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea and all that. We should also retell our story of how God saved us, how He revitalized us through His Son Jesus. Tell that story to yourself. Number three, plan ahead. Plan ahead so you do as little work as possible. I know if I don't plan ahead, it doesn't happen. Maybe you're different, but I think a lot of you are the same, right? If you don't plan ahead, it won't happen. So what might that look like? Well, it might look like preparing food ahead of time, unless, of course, cooking relaxes you. Maybe you can eat out if you're able to afford it. Don't fill that day up, your day off, with errands like grocery shopping and laundry. It's a day of rest, not a day a day off to continue working. Instead, why don't you choose to do something that is life-giving and relaxing to you? Some people like to go get out in nature. I mean, doesn't it look inviting right now just to be out there? But when the weather's nicer, maybe you like cycling or reading or going to watch a movie, hanging out with friends. Perhaps you like to hit the gym. You know what refreshes you. Make a point to do it on that day off. Another thing, detach yourself from your smartphone, from your computer, from social media, from email. You know, many people, what they do is they put a little message on the day off on their email which says, "Hi, today is my day off. Thanks for your message. I will be back in the office tomorrow. I'll get back to your emails then." It's a great idea. Leave the phone at home. People survive without smartphones. Trust me, you'll be okay. So one more thing I just want to share with you is there's an interesting trend with younger generations. There's an article I read on millennials. And it was noting that the younger generations of millennials are taking less and less vacation time. And they're not able to turn off. This is from an NPR article. And a 33-year-old said he doesn't take vacation time ever. He said, quote, "It's just not my thing," which probably sounds strange, "but I prefer to be at work getting things done." I know that person needs a vacation. Plan vacations, folk. So in conclusion, I want you to remember that Sabbath is not an add-on to life. It shouldn't be something, well, I'll do it here and there when I get time. You'll never have the time if you don't make the time. Sabbath is not an optional add-on. It's actually essential to your spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. It really is. The Lord ordained it as a commandment because he knows us. And he knows that it is good for us to rest. It's not legalism. It's love. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have ordained Sabbath for us, Lord. That it's not an optional add-on to our lives, but Lord, you have said and told us that this is integral to our humanity, to who we are as people. That we need to have a time of work and we need to have a time of rest. And so, Lord, I pray you would speak to people's hearts today as they go away from this message. That they would look at their lives and reevaluate and examine, where can I make time for Sabbath in my life? Where can I make time for you, Lord? I pray you would speak to them, bring conviction to their hearts that rest is important, will be a joy. And I ask, Lord, that also you would show them where the idolatry in their heart is with regards to their work, and that you would allow them to be able to trust in you. Give them that faith, Lord, to know that everything is in your hands and that you will provide for them when they honor you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.